guys, welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So today is a little bit more of a lo-fi kind of episode, I guess you could call it. I am recording this from my bed for a couple of reasons. So the first reason is that one of my kitties is not feeling very well again. So he's got a really bad cold at the moment. So I am just cuddling with him and taking care of him and trying to make sure that he's comfortable and happy. I think last episode I said that things were finally turning around and we were starting to, you know, everyone was getting better. And then this week has just turned that back around again. Having a very, like, hanged man, things keep turning around type of experience right now. Like Wheel of Fortune kind of too. And yeah, he's been back to the vet this week with an eye infection and now he has a cold. So we're just doing the best that we can to take care of him. I'm keeping an eye on him, making sure that he's, you know, eating and drinking as much as he can. You know, he's like all of us when we have a cold, we don't really feel like we want to eat much or whatever. He's mostly just sleeping a lot right now. But he is eating a little bit and drinking too, so that's good. I'm keeping an eye on him and making sure that he is doing that. I did some research and found pretty much that cat colds, by and large, are very similar to how humans are with a cold. You know, they last a couple of weeks. They can take about 10 days to get over fully, and the symptoms are pretty much the same. So he's really stuffy right now and he's really, like, snotty. Sorry. But hopefully it's like in the, you know, it's been the first couple of days, and I know that's always the worst whenever I have a cold. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm, yeah. And then you start to feel better after that, so I'm really hoping that that will be the case for him too. But if needs be, we will take him back again. But I'm really, really crossing my fingers. I'm really hoping that that is not necessary, because to be completely honest, we have really been struggling financially this past month or so, mostly because of vet bills. And it would be really nice to stop struggling. But maybe, I don't know, maybe I just need to let go and let it be what it is, you know. So as to that, the GoFundMe is still up if you are interested, if you want to donate anything. We would sure appreciate it. Having said that, I realise around the holidays, many people don't have a lot of extra money. I completely get that. And I didn't even realise it was going to be Christmas in like a week and a half until I looked at my calendar last night and I was like, whoa! So yeah, I completely get if, you know, monetary help is not an option right now. I do want to say, you know, anything, even $5, even like, I think you can just donate like $2 or $3, even that helps. But having said that, yeah, I completely get it if that's not possible right now. I want to thank you for all of your support and all of your love and kindness, and just generally keeping up with me online and talking to me. And you know, sometimes when there's these stressful situations, I have this tendency to sort of like turn into a hermit and just kind of like go into my shell and like try and shut everything out, and that's not really good for me. It's not really it's a coping mechanism more than something that's particularly healthy. And so I really appreciate folks who, you know, kind of get me out of that shell. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, I don't really have the energy right now for big conversations, at least, you know, day to day. It doesn't affect my job. It doesn't really affect my work, but that's because I go into like another headspace for that. But even just, you know, sending me a thing on Instagram stories or a comment or, you know, something like that, it still really helps. So I appreciate everyone who's been doing that. The other reason that I'm doing this from bed today is because I'm just not feeling very well myself, and I think it's just stress. I woke up this morning, and this happened to me yesterday too. I woke up and I was really shaky. So I have what's called an essential tremor, which to describe at least how I experience it, is that I have a tremor all the time, which is to do with some health conditions, and also I think caused by some medications for those health conditions, or something. And so I always have like a slight tremor, in my, mostly noticeable in my hands, but when I'm stressed or I'm not well, it's more noticeable, and I've noticed it the past couple of days where I'm like, whoa, that's kind of worse than usual. So yeah, I kind of gave myself today especially to just try and rest, because I'm going to be at work tomorrow, and just try and relax, I guess. So today's episode is going to be probably kind of a smaller episode, a mini episode in a way. I really want to focus on answering a question that I was that I received on Instagram, which I think is a really good question, so I want to address that. And I also just really wanted to check in with y'all and, you know, let you know what's going on. Transparency is very important to me, and like being myself and sharing myself with y'all and like telling you what's going on with me. I've always felt that way, and it just means a lot to me to be able to do that, and also it means a lot when other people do that and I get to see that in like other things that I enjoy, so I like to do that myself. So I have been painting again, which has been really nice. So I have this thing where I go through these like maybe 2-3 month cycles where I'll paint all the time, so I'll paint every day, like most of the day for a while, and then I'll go through like a couple months where I either don't paint at all or I barely paint, and then I pick it back up and then keep going. And I don't know why that is. I guess it's just my rhythm, my cycle, of the way I create. And I have, yeah, picked it back up again. So I finished a painting that I started working on last time I was painting. Finished it yesterday, and I really love how it came out. I've also been working on a couple animal pieces. One is a crow, and then the other is going to be an owl, and then I'm also going to be doing a bear. And I'm going to have those at the Four of Wands, but I'm probably also going to put them online. I'm not sure yet, we'll see. we'll see what happens with that, but I will let you know. But I've been really enjoying doing them. I've been doing something a little bit different with them, just slightly, and I'm really enjoying how that's coming out. So I'm just, it's making me feel good, and it's really good for when I'm feeling stressed or kind of worried and things, to just kind of get down and get in the flow of that, and that we'll just let go. It's one thing that really gets me to let go and like go into some other space and let the energy just flow through. Like painting to me is a very magician like activity, where I'm just sort of reaching, I guess, into the ether and letting flow whatever comes through the energy, and letting it kind of like tell me what it wants to be. And I like that. For someone who's very analytical and tends to worry kind of a lot, that's something that I appreciate, is being able to do that. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and answer the question that I got. And this was a question that I received on Instagram. But actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut here, we're going to go to the ad break, and then I'm going to come back and answer the question, because I think I really am just going to make it a mini episode today. So I'll be back in a second. Today was asked the person who asked. I don't know what the grammar is for that. By lovely Angela on Instagram. So that's Awakened Hearts with Angela. Let me just make sure. Yeah, Awakened Hearts with Angela. I wanted to get that right. And that's all one word. So thank you, Angela, for this really good question, because I really enjoyed thinking about it. and hopefully the answer will be helpful. So the question that Angela asked was, sorry about my grammar, guys. How did you step into completely trusting your gift and discerning it from ego? How did you step into completely trusting your gift and discerning it from ego? Okay, so I think that's a really good question and a really interesting question. So the thing with this is that it wasn't in a vacuum. And what I mean by that is that I really learned to trust my gift more the more I used my gift or gifts, you know, and you can call that whatever you want, psychic abilities, psychic gifts, you know, clairvoyance, mediumship, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, all the different ones. I think it's a good question, and thinking about the ego too. And what I realized was, and I think this is common for a lot of people, is that for me, the ego would tend to, and still sometimes does, come up as a fear that I'm not giving the right information, or that I'm not giving the right answer, I'm not making sense, that what I'm saying isn't right. That's where the ego would come up, because the ego wants to be right. For the ego, there's right and wrong, and it wants to be right all the time, because if you're not right, then the ego takes that as, you know, I'm going to be in danger in some way, people aren't going to like me, I'm not going to be accepted, I'm going to be pushed out, I'm going to people are going to think less of me, people will not respect me, whatever it is, you know. That's all the ego has, that fear. And so it really wants to be right. And so becoming a tarot reader, a psychic reader, a healer, whatever, where you're relying on these intuitive skills and these psychic skills, where you don't just get the information, you know, from a, finger quotes, regular source, and you can't always prove it the way that people might want you to and things like that. It's like that really trips the ego up, because the ego doesn't like things that are uncertain. It doesn't like things that are risky, and it doesn't like things that could make you be wrong. At least in my experience, and from talking to other people about this quite a lot. So what I found was that for me, ego would come up a lot around that idea of, what if I'm wrong? What if I don't? What if I'm not making sense? What if the person doesn't understand me? Because if they don't understand me, if I'm wrong, they're going to think I'm a fraud. They're going to think I'm fake. All that stuff, you know, and it would just like get into that cycle of worry. And I have, for a long time, had this tendency in my head that when I'm worrying about something, I get into what they call, at least in like cognitive behavioral therapy, they call catastrophic thinking, which is basically imagining like the worst case scenario for anything that you're worried about. So, you know, for me in the past, I would kind of get this thing of like, if I'm wrong and they think I'm a fraud, they're going to go tell everyone, and then everyone's going to hate me, and then I'm going to get run out of town, and I'll never work again, and you know, like that. And the thing that helped me get over that to a large extent was kind of purposefully putting my ego in its place. And I don't mean that as in berating my ego and saying, well, you're just stupid, you're, you know, all of that. Because I think there's this real tendency to look at the ego as like the ego is our enemy, and it's not. The ego is trying to, for one, a lot of the time, it's trying to protect us and keep us safe. And for two, it's the part of us that kind of, I think, like, amalgamates everything that we learn in our human body, and it helps us to live on Earth. You know, it's like our ego is a part of how we work on Earth. And so I really try not to, like, berate myself, because berating my ego is berating a part of myself. And I'm really trying to heal the relationship with self. Like, I think, you know, a lot of people are, that self-care, self-love, that's what that is to me, is not berating any part of myself, no matter which part it is, just understanding it and having love for it and giving it love. So yeah, with that said, I would start, and this is hard to begin with, and I won't pretend that it isn't, but every time I would get that fear, I would name it. So I would say to myself, okay, that's my ego. I'm feeling nervous, or I'm feeling scared because my ego is scared. But I'm here to do this. I'm supposed to be doing this. This is my purpose. This is why I'm here. And therefore, I'm going to see that fear, and I'm going to say, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's really going to be okay. Because, to be honest, if I feel so called to this, there must be something in it that I can give. Like, even if I don't make sense, even if it just was that I had this image in my head or whatever, and I was explaining it to someone, maybe that's what they need, you know? Maybe they will get something out of that. So even if they don't get anything out of the psychic part of this experience, which I really, really want them to, but you know, even if they don't, maybe they will get something out of just speaking to me, or just hearing what I, you know, my advice on this thing that they're asking me about. Or maybe they just need someone to listen to them. Maybe they just need to talk it out, get it out on the table. You know, so I would, like, take that fear and not ignore it and not push it aside, but not give it the power, basically. Like, I would just say to myself, one, it's going to be okay. Two, even if it doesn't make complete sense, or whatever the fear is, there's still a reason I'm doing this. I still know I'm called to this. I still know I'm meant to be doing this. So I'm going to do it. And then the person would come in, and I'd do the reading, and I would say to them, you know, does that make sense? Or is there anything I need to clarify? How do you feel? Etc., etc. And they would say to me, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That was amazing. That was, you know, perfect. You got everything. That makes so much sense to me. That really clarifies things. That really helps, etc., etc., etc. And every single time I would have another person come in and say that, I would trust my gifts more. I would trust my intuition more. And I would trust that I wasn't just making it up in my head. But it wasn't, you know, like an overnight thing. It took time to build that up, and it took, like, repeatedly saying to myself and reassuring myself and my ego part that was scared that it's for one, I completely get why you're scared. This is normal. For two, I'm supposed to do this. This is what I'm meant to do. And I'll tell you why I know that's true. More than just having the feeling that this is what I'm supposed to do, more than just the fact that when I do readings for people and I, you know, like, get that coming through, I feel great. I love that feeling. It feels right. It feels like, yes, this is my thing. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm supposed to do. More even than all of that is the fact that every time I've tried to do something else, every time in my life that I have looked at those gifts and gone, I'm going to go try to do this thing instead over here for a while, it hasn't worked. And either the thing that I tried to go and do, it didn't work the way that I had wanted it to, or I would get sick and I couldn't maintain it, or you know, it just sometimes I would try and put something out there and it would just flop. It just wouldn't work at all. And I would come back to it, I don't want to say square one, but kind of come back to myself and go, well, what am I supposed to do now? And then every time something would pop up about doing readings, about psychic skills, about someone reaching out to me and saying, hey, can you do this thing for me? I want to, you know, can you do a reading for me? And how do I send you some money? I really need you to help me with this thing. Or like, I really feel like I need a reading with you. Or can we talk about this? I really need to come and see you and talk this thing through, or whatever. Like every single time that would happen. Or another thing that would happen would be, I'd kind of have like something out on the, like I'd put something out there, like I'm doing these readings or something, or I'm doing this thing. And then I would kind of step back and look at it and go, I don't know if that's going to work. Isn't this ridiculous? Isn't this, you know, like who's going to think that this is a good thing? Who is going to go for this? I'd get into that catastrophic thinking. I'm going to be broke forever. I'm never going to make any money, etc., etc., etc. And every time the readings would pick up and people would be ordering them, and I'd get really busy with readings and I'd sell decks and I'd, you know, all of that stuff. It's like every time my guides or God or spirit or however you want to call it, I think of those all as really the same thing. It's like they were saying to me, you got this. This is for you, and you are meant for this. This is your work. And it doesn't matter how much you tell yourself that it's ridiculous and no one's going to go for it and who's going to see a psychic and everyone thinks psychics are frauds, etc., you know, bloody etc. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you tell yourself that, because it's always going to keep coming back to you, because it's why you're here. You're like a magnet. And a magnet can say it's not a magnet, it's still a magnet. It's still going to attract those things. It's attracting what your purpose is. It's attracting to you what you're here to do. And even if you're scared, and even if you doubt yourself, and even if you're, you know, you get down, and even if you think that you can't, you can do it and you will do it. And not in a forcing way, but just like a thing of like you're living, and so you will keep doing this because it's going to keep coming back to you. This is what you're here for. And eventually I saw all those things and I put, you know, them together and went, oh yeah. Like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, this is really my purpose. This is really why I'm here. And then since I had that kind of revelation to myself, I guess, then I had to realize, if this is why I'm here, these gifts, these abilities, these skills, whatever, must be real. It must be real, because if it's not, how is it my purpose? And if I know that so certainly, then, you know, you can't put those together and then not make each other make sense. And so that's kind of how I came to that too. And I have to say also, really like diving into doing readings, and for me doing readings in person was one thing that like really made me face those fears, because there's something to me that is different about reading in person and reading online or recording a reading or even doing it over the phone. They feel different to me. And I don't think the quality of the reading is any different. Like, people will ask me, well, how do you do that? How do you, like, they don't shuffle the cards, or how do you do it from long distance? And I'm just like, I don't know, I just do. You know, I've got plenty of testimonials, plenty of people that will attest to that this is real, and I can pick up on their situation and I can read for them. So I don't doubt that at all, and I don't think the reading is any less potent at all. It's just the face-to-face, because, and that is a gift of, like, in-person readings, is you see that person's face, you see their body language, you get to get that immediate feedback. You know, most people will at least tell you, yes, that made sense. you know, some people will go into detail, or they'll ask me, like, do you want me to explain why this makes sense? And I'm like, yes, please. I love when people do that. Because that's a little bit of an ego thing too, you know, the ego likes to be right. So when you do a reading and someone says to you, that was amazing, you hit every point, how, you know, that's incredible, like, your ego goes, yeah, that's pretty good, I like that. So yeah, you can't divorce ego from it completely, I don't think, you know. But it's just knowing the place of the ego and not giving the ego too much importance and not giving it no credit at all. Like, it's just being aware of it in balance with the whole of your being. So, like I was saying, people will give you different levels of detail, but most people will at least tell you, yes, that made sense, or say, you know, thank you, that I needed that, or whatever it is. I want to say here that the gift of online reading, you know, doing it, especially doing it where I don't really write them down so much anymore. I record them, like audio record them, and send them to the person I'm reading for with an image of the cards for them, because I like them to hear my voice. It flows easier for me. It's easier on my body because I have trouble writing and things like that. And the gift of that type of reading is people tend to, not everyone, but some people will write back and tell me basically the same thing. They'll tell me their story. They'll explain, you know, what's been going on. They'll say thank you, whatever. Not everyone, and that's fine. You know, I'm not doing it for people to say thank you to me. It's nice. Like I said, the ego enjoys it, but it's not essential. Like, the essential thing is I did something, it helped them. That's it. They paid me. Great. I'm making a living, you know? But the doing it in person was the thing that really made me confront that fear that was coming from that ego part of myself, because when it's like long distance, you're not seeing their face, so you can still be scared, like, they're gonna write back, they're gonna say that made no sense, they're gonna give me a bad review, whatever. But I don't know about you, but for me, confrontation is so scary to me. And the thought of having someone look at me and go, that's trash. It's like, oh God, I'm gonna die. You know, it's like that kind of fear. And so, like, confronting it and going, you know what? Take a deep breath, because if that happens, I'm still going to keep doing it. I'm still going to keep showing up, because ultimately that one person might think that it made no sense, or it might not have made any sense to them, but that doesn't mean that I'm useless to everyone. You know, I can still help so many more people than I can make no sense to, if that makes sense. And it really, like, helped me to get over that fear and to step past it. And here's the thing too, doing readings, if you do them with enough frequency, you are going to get those people who sit there, and whether it's, you know, online or in person, and tell you that didn't make any sense, nope, don't believe in that, nope, don't like it, it's fake. You know, I've had people say that to me, it's fake. And does it hurt? Like hell, yes, it hurts. But is it the end of the world? No. You know, you could let that scare you out of doing it, because the ego will take that and go, well, that's it, that one person thinks that forever, so it must be true about everything. Especially if you have Aries in your chart, which I do. Aries, one of my best friends the other day described this in a way I've never heard anyone explain this, but it makes so much sense. They said Aries like to be a hero. They like to be the one who does good. So as soon as you tell them you've made a mistake, you did something wrong, no matter what it is, no matter how small it is, they take that and go, that's it, I'm done for, I am the worst person in the world, I am useless, and I'm going to go and live in the garbage forever. Like, that's an Aries thing. So I do have that part of myself, but it's like, I, you know, I vent it out and go, oh, that really sucked, that really hurt. that made me sad, whatever it is, and then I keep going, because I know I'm supposed to keep going, I know I'm meant to do this, and it's that old, you know, adage that you can't please everyone, or what is it, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all of the time, whatever. And I try my best. I don't go into anything and say anything that I don't believe, and I don't give people, like, false messages, and I, like, to me it is 100% completely real. And honestly, I'm like, how would I know these things? I wouldn't know these things just off the bat, because even if you think of it in a logical way, why would I know these things about a complete stranger that I've never met before? Like, how logically would I know that, you know? But there's always going to be people who don't like it, or they have a certain idea of how it's going to be and you didn't do it that way or whatever, and they're going to tell you that it's rubbish, it didn't make sense, you know, but you keep going. So anyway, I'm going to look at the question again and make sure I'm staying on track. One second. Completely trusting your gift and discerning it from ego. Okay, so completely trusting my gift. I would say that 90% of the time I trust my gift. 90% of the time I trust myself. There's still that 10% of me that still now has that fear that says, this doesn't make any sense, this isn't going to help, they're not going to know what I'm talking about, etc, etc. That fear is still there. It's like I said, it's 10% now versus 90, but it's still there, and that's okay, you know. Like I was saying, it's kind of like how you approach that fear, I think, and how you speak to yourself about that fear that matters, and also kind of has an effect on how much it affects what you're doing. But yeah, there's still times when I don't completely trust myself, regardless of the fact that I have so much evidence now for myself, empirical evidence of what I'm saying making sense and it being true, etc, etc. You know, it's like, I don't know that, maybe, hopefully, there will get to a time when I 100% trust it all the time and never doubt myself. That would be nice, but I'm not there yet, you know? But it doesn't stop me being a good reader. It doesn't stop me using those skills. And the more you use them, the more that confidence will grow and that trust will grow, and the smaller the fear will get. Discerning it from ego. The ego, like I said, the ego wants to be right. So I find that for me, something coming from the ego ultimately comes back to, like, how it affects me. So, you know, if I was saying something to someone like, I don't even know. I'm trying to think of, like, a piece of advice that would be, like, an ego piece of advice. Think you know, if I said to someone, well, you should do this, you should go and do this thing, and the reason I was telling them that was because you should play it safe, you know, even if my intuition is saying nope, you got to take a leap of faith, I could say to them, you know, I could turn that around and go, nope, you need to play it safe, because I want them to be safe. I don't want them to do anything that there could even potentially be failure at, because if they fail, that's my fault, that's the ego, right? So if it comes back to how it affects you more than how it affects the other person, I think that's coming from ego. For me, during readings, I actually, and I've talked to a couple of people about this and friends about this, and it's weird. It's like when I'm reading, I'm in the back seat of my own brain. and I actually read with my eyes closed most of the time. So I use tarot mostly to do readings. So we'll pull the client will pull the cards. I'll look at them, get a feel of what's going on, and then I'll just start talking about it, and I'll close my eyes, and then I just go into this, like, space where I really feel like I'm channeling it from their guides. It's information coming through me, and it's using what I've studied, and it's using what I have worked on and built up, but it's not really coming from me. So it's not coming from my ego because it's not really purely me. It's like, I kind of think of it like, it's like the spirit part of me, the part of me that is always in spirit, linking up with my guides and their guides, and then bringing through information based on what I'm receiving from them, some messages coming through that are being shown in the cards, and the cards are there to help me explain what I'm seeing, which is why I'm not always super great at reading without cards. It's not that I can't, because I can read without cards, but it's sometimes hard for me to explain what I'm seeing exactly in my head without something to like point to go, oh yeah, it's kind of like this, right? Or sometimes it's difficult if there's not like a certain, if I'm trying to explain like a certain concept or something and there's not really a word for it. Like, I find that images, say on tarot cards, can be a lot better at saying this kind of feeling, this kind of situation, rather than me trying to like explain everything myself, or the images are trying to come through my own head. If you've had a reading with me, you might have seen me do this even with the cards, where I get this thing and I'm like, I can't put into words what they're telling me. There aren't words to describe this, or there's no, what I'm being shown isn't something that I can fully explain. And I usually find a way, because the guides will usually like help me to explain it, or they'll give me metaphors, or they'll show me something else or whatever. But there's just some things that are really hard to translate because they're in spirit and they don't need words, whereas we do need words to communicate, you know, at least for a reading. So that's a thing for me with discerning it from ego, is that it really feels like it comes from a different place. And everyone reads differently, so it might not feel like that to you, and that's completely fine. That's not saying that you're not a good reader, or that your readings aren't, you know, they don't make sense. But that's how it is for me. I want to leave you with a piece of advice that I received from, this was, don't even remember what year, before I started working at the Four of Wands. So I was reading online, but I was trying out for reading over the phone, like a, you know, phone service thing, and I ended up not doing it because it didn't work out, and I don't think I was supposed to do it, but I think I was supposed to have the experience of working on it, if that makes sense, because that actually was the thing that really got me to consider, like, yeah, maybe I should, like, look at doing face-to-face readings. And then I met Melissa and started working at the shop, so it was meant to happen. I just don't think it was meant to be that I was supposed to do that work in that way. Anyway, all that to say, there was one line and I had to do some interviews, so I had to do some test readings. So I was test reading for the owner of that company, which is scary and terrifying. But so I was doing the reading, and then after the reading, she gave me feedback and she said, everything you said made complete sense. It was completely accurate. It was right. However, you are so focused on it being right that it stops you from telling the story. And that's what's really, that's, you have a gift for that. I can tell how empathic you are. I can tell how intuitive you are. I can tell that you're psychic, you know, it's like, I can tell that's true. But you're not using it, because the part of you that you're using right now is the part that wants to be right. And if you want to be right, you'll hold things back. You won't tell people things that they need to hear because you're scared of what they'll think. So you'll hold back and you won't give 100% in your readings. And people can feel that. They might not know what it is, but people can feel that. So I didn't end up working on that phone line, but, or any phone line, but I really appreciated that. That lady was really nice, and she was really candid with me, and really honest, you know, I really believed her, because she gave me that feedback, and it was like, I had to go away and really think about that, because it was like really confronting me with something, and going, you want to be perfect, you have to let go of being perfect, which is an ego thing, brings us back to the ego. You have to let go of being perfect. You have to let go of being right. And only then will you give as much as you have to give of your gift. And that's what's going to be best for you, you know, is to be able to fully express that gift. And I've never forgotten that. And I've carried it with me, and it's been something that I've thought about, and it's challenging to think, yeah, because I am. I have a ton of Capricorn in my chart. Like, Capricorn wants to be so perfect, and then I have Virgo rising, so Virgo also really wants to be perfect. And then, like I said, that Aries, if we think we did something wrong, I'm going to go live in the trash, you know? They're all very, gotta be perfect, gotta be, do this right, I have to be good. And if you take that and go, do you? Why? If you challenge that instead of it being a core tenet of who you are and go, what if not though? What if that was turned around? What if I changed that? What if that was different? Then it makes you look at things in a different way and expand, you know, and then you grow. So anyway, I hope that's helpful and useful. That is all I'm going to do for today, is just answer that question. So it's going to be a slightly shorter episode, like I said earlier, but I really hope that you find that helpful and useful, Angela, and anyone listening. Yeah. So just to quickly do my plugs and then I'm going to go. So I am at the Four of Wands in Fayetteville every Friday and Saturday. Friday will be, so tomorrow, every Friday and Saturday, so Fridays are 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and then Saturdays are 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. This Saturday I'm probably going to be there a little bit later, because my wife has got some work things to do, I think. Oh, I can't remember exactly what it was, so I'll probably be there till 6-ish, but I'll keep updated on my social media, mostly on Instagram, so you'll see that, find that, and those times. If you want to book a reading with me, I actually am having a sale, a 50% off sale on all my psychic readings, apart from phone and text readings. So all psychic readings, apart from that, in my Etsy shop until the 14th. So until, midnight. So midnight on the 13th. So does that make sense? All of the 13th. every reading in there is 50% off, including a new one that I'm doing, which is an energy portrait with a reading, which I love. I'm loving doing those. So if you are interested in a reading, they are the perfect gift for other people too. If you want to give a reading to someone else, I also have tarot gift certificates in the shop, so you can give someone else a reading basically, or give them a certificate to choose a reading that they want to do. If you're interested in that, or if you're interested in my decks, that's the Sacred Cocoon Oracle, the Divine Portal Oracle, the Vitae, Whispers, what is it? Oh my god, I just forgot the name of deck. Whispers of Nature Oracle, or in pre-ordering the Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle. Those are all in the shop, which is my Etsy shop, so that is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. You can also book readings through Instagram, so The Sacred Cocoon, or through Facebook, and I accept payment for those through PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App. So there's plenty of ways to do it if you want to. I think that's everything. One last thing, I forgot to talk about this last week. My tarot class. So I'm doing teaching an intuitive tarot class. It's a 6-week class starting in January. So it starts January 11th. Or is it January 10th? I think it's the 11th. Wow. It's not the first Saturday of January, because that's my birthday and I won't be at work. It's the next Saturday. So it starts then, it goes through till February 15th. It is $122 for all 6 classes when you book throughout December. You can book on, I think on the website, but definitely in store if you ask them at the register. And there are only a couple places left now. I think there's 4 spots left as of last week. So please do get on that if you want to. I don't want to disappoint anyone, but we're doing a small class, so it's 9 people total. So there's 4 spots left. If you're interested in that, we're going to be combining learning tarot and looking at tarot from the Rider Waite-Smith perspective combined with intuitive reading, and you're going to go away with like cheat sheets and sheets that we're going to fill out together, and we're going to be practicing things together and telling stories and all sorts of things like that. So hopefully, no, not hopefully, it is going to be fun. It is going to be fun. Okay. So all my love to you all. Bye for now.